This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Okay, Place to Be Nation, this is Will, and this is SummerSlam Celebration Week, and it continues with the Place to Be Nation. On the line with me today are JR and Scott from the Mothership, the Place to Be Nation podcast. What's going on, guys?
Fuck you, Will. Where's McGinn?
Hey, what the hell? What the hell happened?
I can drop F-bombs on the show, right? That's no rules
on this
one?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, okay. Right. Yeah, if those who don't know, on the Dangerous Alliance podcast I do with JR, we're trying not to use the F word, and the first thing JR does tonight is use the F word.
Whoa.
Shit.
Hey, fuck you, too, Sorrow.
Wait, yeah. Oh, hey, eat a cock.
I love the way the show goes.
So Will is trying to do a show without saying fuck.
And he's been good. We've had 7 episodes, and we've only said it each once.
That's true.
We do 2 hours of pop. That's 14 hours. Probably, we've only said that.
Probably good McGinn's not here. His virgin ears couldn't handle any of this. So.
We did a show a few years ago, the very first time me and a buddy had Will on, and my buddy did an outreel of just Will saying fuck, and it was 20 minutes long, and it was only half of the show.
That's funny.
It was. I think they edited it on YouTube to like 4 or 5 minutes or 6 minutes. But yeah, it was pretty bad. All right.
By the way, before we get started, can I just say?
I thought we were starting.
Well, this is the first time I've never spoken to Johnny Sorrow in person. I don't think so. Johnny, how are you?
Very good, and you're welcome.
All right. Look at that. Fucking assholes. All right. And now, if you didn't know, that's Johnny Sorrow from Brainbuster, the Titans of Wrestling, the reaction shows, This Week in Wrestling. What other things are you whoring yourself out to, Johnny?
And I'm currently appearing on stage at the Long Run Jesters Dinner Theater.
Oh, shit.
Guys and Dolls.
All right, Sorrow, I'll take Mid-South, Mid-Carters for $400, please.
Oh, wait.
Sorry. Wrong show.
And I just saw his name on this list today. Ashley Madison. Something like that was leaked, and I saw Johnny Sorrow was number one on the list.
No. That'd be Adult Friend Finder.
Okay.
All right. So this show's already off the fucking rails, man. This is it. Anyway, so tonight we're doing Mr. SummerSlam. We're going to run through a bunch of names of guys who have had SummerSlam matches. First part of the show, we're going to decide if they are in contention for Mr. SummerSlam, or if we're going to throw them in the woodpile and get rid of them. And then second half of the show, we're actually going to choose Mr. SummerSlam. So, guys, recent racist comments withstanding. I think we got to start with Hulk Hogan, who originally wasn't even on my list. And JR is like, dude, you got to have Hulk Hogan. And I was like, oh, I guess you're right. So let's look at his matches. Hulk Hogan appeared in 6 SummerSlams. The first one was Hogan and Savage versus Andre and DiBiase in 1988. Then we had Hogan and Brutus versus Randy Savage and Zeus in 89, no holds barred, versus Earthquake in 1990 after he got his ribs crushed. Teaming with the Ultimate Warrior in a handicap match against General Adnan, Colonel Mustafa, and Sergeant Slaughter in 91. And then he disappears for 14 years, comes back, wrestles Shawn Michaels at 2005 SummerSlam, and wrestles Randy Orton in 2006. So, JR, you told me we had to have Hulk Hogan on the list. Talk about Hulk Hogan's SummerSlam run.
I mean, I think he's worth mentioning. I don't know if I'd really give him any kind of serious consideration, but mainly I want to talk about the Mega Bucks match, because while the match itself, is very good. It's nothing that stands out on, you know, a superior level, but it was such a big marquee matchup for the first SummerSlam for the 4 top guys in the promotion, mega faces, no pun intended, with Hogan and Savage, and then the 2 top heels, DiBiase and Andre, had been battling all at 88. And I mean, the show was sold on the back of that match. No other match on that card was really high profile or a red hot feud. We'd have the Warrior moment, but that wasn't a selling point. So this was completely sold on the back of the main event. So I think that has to lend some credence to his importance to the show. And the earthquake match is one of my guilty pleasure favorites from 1990. A really good match, and Will and you know the world knows the tent of marks that we are. You know, great feud. That was the first feud I was into as a kid. I got in right when Earthquake killed Hogan. Is when I started really watching wrestling. So that feud meant a lot to me as a fan, and the match was really good. And the welts on Earthquake's back after Hogan pelts him with that little stool were pretty gnarly. So and the Michaels match is fun, and so was the one from 89. But again, not enough meat here to really say he's a legit contender, but I think he had enough influence early that he's going to at least be mentioned.
Yeah, Scott, what do you think about Hogan's run here?
Well, JR's right on the 88 match. I love the 89 match, him and Beefcake against Savage and Zeus. It's a fun match. It's not five stars by any stretch, but you know, when you look at the 80s SummerSlams, I think a lot of times like you have to look at things other than the work rate, and that match I think was one of the more fun main events. But in terms of Mr. SummerSlam, this cachet of matches probably doesn't warrant going to the next round. I think there's other guys who have a heavier load of work to match him. He was definitely a Mr. WrestleMania candidate, but he was certainly not a Mr. SummerSlam candidate. I don't think his matches were as, even though they were mostly all main events, a lot of them were tags. So I wouldn't put him in the next round.
Okay. No, that's fair. Johnny, I think he was in our Mr. WrestleMania winner, right? Wasn't Hogan our winner?
Oh, I don't remember.
I don't either, man. That was so long. Scott, you just listened to the show. Was Hogan the winner?
I didn't catch. Of course, I didn't listen to the last 20 minutes. I was fishing at work, but I didn't get who won. But
so but, someone with better memories than us.
I can think of someone that will instantly correct us. So we're good.
Yeah,
don't worry about it. Yeah, we'll get a correction somewhere.
John, first of all,
are we throwing Hogan in the wood piles yet?
Yeah, but I think it's like he's the foundation on. Which even SummerSlam was originally built on, like you said, the marquee match. You know, those early years, it was all about Hogan, right up to 91. And I just want to say, Will, I love the fact that you pronounce Hulk Hogan like the Ultimate Warrior did in those promos leading up to the match at WrestleMania 7.
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan.
God. All right. So I think we all agree, right? We have to mention Hogan. We had to run down the matches. They are very important matches. I was just telling JR that I was listening to a Snoop Dogg podcast where he had a Tiny Lister on there. And according to Tiny Lister, that when he wrestled No Holds Barred, the movie grossed over $100 million. But if you look it up, it was only $16 million. But that's how important this movie was.
In Zeus bucks, it was $100 million. Yeah. So.
In Zeus that's bucks, right. There you go.
Right.
So anyway, yeah, let's throw Hogan on the wood pile, but we definitely had to mention him. Another guy I think we got to mention, only because if you look at his early run of matches, they're either super memorable or they're actually really good. And that's the Ultimate Warrior, because in '88 he squashes the Honky Tonk Man in like a really special, memorable all time moment. And then he has a pair of really good matches against Rick Rude in 1989 and '90 was the cage match, and then the big match with Randy Savage for the world title in 1992. So only four matches. I don't think it's enough to keep him. But if he would have continued that string of memorable or slash great matches, man, he could have been a contender. So I only put him on here as kind of a what if, you know. What do you think, Scott?
I got to say, I would put him through the next round. I mean, I know it's a small template, but
okay.
It's a small template, but every match was, well, not every match in stars wise, but just in terms of the whole package, every match is probably at least 3.5 stars, even the squash for excitement purposes. As JR knows, the 89 Rude match is probably one of my like 10 favorite matches of all time.
Sure.
The 90 cage match, really solid. Not as good as 89, but solid. The tag in 91.
I missed the tag. What tag was he in the 91?
The handicap.
The handicap Hogan. With Hogan.
Oh, shit. Yeah, okay. With I completely.
Yeah, and then with Hulk Hogan. And he walked out. And he didn't see him. But and then the match, I know one of JR's my personal favorites, the match with Savage at in 92 five matches, five wins. I mean, he's 5-0, undefeated.
Yeah, that can't go wrong with that. Get some mention too. And the honky thing is such a big moment, the first mega moment in SummerSlam history, and one that resonated for years. This is because of the payoff to honky and what really launched Warrior. The 90 cage match is fine. You know, their work is fine. It's more the story that was flat and the fact that Rude was not believable at all as a challenger because he had not really been built up as such. So that hurts that match. And the Triangle of Terror match is okay. But the Savage Warrior stuff has a great story in 92. And then the Rude match, of course, is phenomenal. One of the best matches in SummerSlam history, just from overall package between the commentary, the build, the storyline, and the execution in Piper's ass. So I think Warrior... I'd put him on, like, the borderline, and if we end up having too many guys to advance, he'd probably be one of the first ones I cut off, but I don't think I'd knock him out immediately. I think he's at least worth lingering.
Okay, well, Johnny, that puts you in an interesting position, because without my opinion whatsoever, you have a chance to move Warrior on to the next round, or wait for me to decide if he goes through. What's your take on Warrior's little run here?
Oh, gee, I feel like, you know, on the Price is Right, and there's people yelling shit at me from the audience.
By the oven.
What do I do? Two, you know what? I can't stand the Ultimate Warrior. He was one. There was many reasons why I stopped watching wrestling in around 88, and he was one of them. And then when I got back into it a little few years later, and he was back around again, and then and again I left. But I'd say put him through, if as the foundation guy, like I mentioned Hogan, it seems like SummerSlam's his and WrestleMania was Hogan's. So based on that, for those early years, I say put him through.
Okay. Yeah. I would have dropped him. So, you know, it's interesting just because even with the five matches, there's other guys that, I think even with fewer matches have bigger moments, but I agree with Scott, man, that 1989 Rick Rude match is awesome. And the honky tonk, man, what a memorable moment, but, let's move on to the next guy. And Johnny Sorrow, I think you're going to agree with me. This guy has to go to the next round. And he really was probably more of an amazing SummerSlam performer than a WrestleMania performer, and he was really good in WrestleMania as well, and that's Bret Hart. I mean, we got the Hart Foundation versus Demolition in 88, Hart Foundation versus the Brainbusters in 89, Hart Foundation versus Demolition again in 2 out of 3 Falls in 90, for the Intercontinental title versus Mr. Perfect in 1991, again versus the British Bulldog in 1992, headlined Wembley. One of my personal favorites, versus Doink and Jerry Lawler in 1993 to continue that feud between Jerry Lawler and the WWF, versus Owen Hart in the cage in 94, and then takes a little bit of dip in 95 versus Isaac Yankum in 1995, but then the really memorable, I mean, it's a long match, you know, could have probably been a little shorter, versus Undertaker in 1997, but had the super memorable ending with Shawn whacking Taker. Man, Bret Hart's got a strong resume, Johnny.
And he was in that Nexus match in 2010 as well. Just, I mean, throwaway, but he's there.
Oh, man. You know what? I didn't even think about that, man. I mean, that's how prepared I am. Forgot about Warrior's handicap match, his Nexus match. Will.
That's why we're tag team partners.
That's right. Well, let's forget about that Nexus match, because he technically wasn't allowed to bump in that one. But Johnny, what's your take on Bret Hart's run in SummerSlam? Johnny, there? Hello, is anybody there?
I'm here. Maybe he's finishing his hammer.
I'm here.
Price. All right. Well, we'll go with you, JR, and then Scott.
All right, yeah, I think the Nexus match is at least worth mentioning, because I feel like he was kind of a selling point for it, like Bret being in the ring again. After the awful Mania match, it was kind of like a, you know, give him another chance to shine. But anyway, yeah, Bret's one of my guys that makes my final list, so I would definitely advance him. I just watched that Isaac Yankum match recently for our Vintage Vault Refresh series on PlayStation.com, and it's not that bad. Like, it's fine for what it is, a very green Glenn Jacobs and, you know, an awkward feud and just kind of offshooting the Lawler feud. And to me, if that's his worst match on this list, like, he's doing okay. And the Bulldog match obviously is fantastic. And the Mr. Perfect match, you know, his big moment in the sun where he ascends to his singles career. The pair of demolition matches were really, really good. 88 and 90. And of course, the Brainbusters, you know, top notch. And to me, I'm with you, Will. I think my favorite on the list from overall package may be the Doink and Lawler one in 93. I mean, just phenomenal work by all three guys. And Bruce Hart looking like a dope as always. That was great. And Owen with the jeans stuck into the cowboy boots. So, I mean, across the board, a lot of fun stuff there. And the Undertaker match again. Yeah, it was long. And it wasn't their best. I think it's even below their one night only match from the month later. But you can't discredit the historical significance of it. Shawn turning right. heel and setting that, you know, starting that feud up, and Brett starting his final reign before he leaves. So I mean, I think Brett's got a really strong case and a really, really strong SummerSlam resume, or the SummerSlam, I should say, for Bret Hart.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, man, that one night only match is an all time classic. Yeah. That's not just a great match; that's an all time classic. So it's hard to live up to that one. But Scott, what's your take on Brett's run?
Brett definitely belongs as a final. We need to get Brett as far as we can every year. A hot summer feud, except for when he took off in 96. But he always kind of ramped up, whether when he was in the Hart Foundation or as a solo. And that includes, you know, the Doink and Lawler. And then, of course, I mean, that summer 94 with Owen could be his signature feud of his career, not counting Shawn. So I think you got to put Brett right at the top of the list right now, maybe number one seed continuing on in our rounds, because every year it was something special. I am not a fan, as you, we've had our Vintage Vault rewrites on the website. I'm not a fan of that Isaac Yanka match at all, but you know, everyone's allowed to have a rough night when you're that good. So I have no problem putting Brett as far as we possibly can. He's definitely a Mr. SummerSlam candidate.
Sure. And is Johnny Sorrow back with us?
Yes.
All right, Johnny, Brett.
Okay, Brett definitely, but for me, it's got nothing to do with match quality. It has to do with the fact that here's a guy who, through his SummerSlam matches, you actually see the entire progression of a career from guy in a tag team to the top guy in the company. And then, even if you count the Nexus match, his return after being estranged is the one last thing in there in a SummerSlam match as this old veteran.
Yeah, I love it.
That's what I see when I see Bret. Bret Hart, his entire career arc is reflected in SummerSlam. So that's why I say definitely.
That's a great point, because he was world champion in 1994. And then inexplicably that they have him like feuding against Isaac Yankum, that one pirate dude, you know, a bunch of mid carders to where he takes a break in 96. Right. And then 97 gets the belt back right before Montreal. No, that's a great point, Johnny.
But well, John, that's a career arc. You know, it's like some guys when they become champion multiple times in, let's say, the NWA. Would go down in the mid card for a little while. So yeah, that's definitely it's just like a snapshot of his career.
Well, Johnny, since we have you back, the next guy I'm going to mention is a guy I know is near and dear to your heart, Mick Foley. And this one right here, look at this list: versus Undertaker in the Boiler Room Brawl in '96, versus Triple H in the Cage in '97, versus the New Age Outlaws in '98, because Kane never showed up. Versus Austin and Triple H in the three-way from 99, and then comes back versus Flair in the hardcore match in 2006. What's your take on Foley's run?
I want to put him through, but I can't. The highs there are really high, and the forgettable stuff is pretty forgettable, the Outlaws thing. I love that Flair match.
I like it too a lot. 1998, the most memorable thing about a Foley SummerSlam was the Woodchuck promo. So
yeah,
yep.
You know. And I have never watched it since the night it aired, but the three way with Jesse Ventura as the ref. I think there's some significance to it historically because of, you know, the Jesse thing. It was a big deal at the time. But I just can't put Foley through, even though, you know, he's one of my favorite guys of all time.
Plus, Foley was really hurting in that SummerSlam match. Like, he had just come off that knee surgery, and it was really almost ready to hang it up. So, not his best work in late 99. He'd be a real borderline guy for me, but I probably would not advance him. I like the Boiler Room Brawl a lot, and I like the cage with Triple H in 97. The rest is just kind of hit or miss. I mean, well, the Flair match is good too, but nothing is good enough to me to really sell him on the next round.
Scott?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, his matches were average. The first two, sadly, the quality got progressively worse. Taker and him in 96 was weird because half of it was taped and half of it was live. The Triple H match in 97 is really good. And then after that, yeah, his body broke down. I mean, 99, I mean, that whole last 5 months in those hideous powder blue sweatpants, and it was unwatchable. But I do love the Flair match in 06, but I don't think I'd move him on either.
Okay, yeah, let's get rid of Foley. And for the sake of time, I'm actually going to include the next two guys to talk about just because these are two super mega stars. But when you look at their SummerSlam resume, it's pretty weak. I mean, not saying that the matches are necessarily weak, but just the resume as a whole is pretty weak. And I'm talking about Steve Austin and The Rock. Check this out. Austin had versus Owen Hart 97 versus Undertaker 98, the Highway to Hell, versus Mankind and Triple H in the three-way 99, and then the really great Kurt Angle match in 2001 with the unsatisfying finish. Then Rock was versus Triple H in the ladder match in 98, great match. The Kiss My Ass match with Billy Gunn in 99. The three-way in 2000 with Triple H and Kurt Angle versus Booker T in 2001. And then the great matchup with Brock Lesnar in 2002. So it's kind of weird because, I mean, these are two mega stars. But I was shocked at, like, how few SummerSlam matches they had. I don't know, Scott. What do you think?
It's funny because one of the cons, if you will, of the Attitude Era is that all of the best guys had such short windows, small snapshots. Austin, 4 matches. Rock, 4 matches or 5 matches. Such a small snapshot. But put them together, you got some really great, great in-ring work. So if you're putting them in collectively as a pair,
No, I just wanted to talk about them together.
Oh, okay. As much as I love the 98 SummerSlam match with Taker and JR, as he said, is the 01 match with Kurt is one of his favorites. I don't know if I could move Austin on for just such a small window. I know it's only one match less than.
Let me end this farce right now. Between the two, Austin has to be the one to go on. I mean, I think even though he only has 4 matches, I mean, I think you could argue 3 of them are great. I mean, the 99 match I'll take out. That Owen Hart match, if you haven't watched it recently, I know it's remembered for the finish, but that match was so, so great up to that finish. And to me, it may be the last real, you know, vestige of, like, vintage Austin before the injuries just turned him into more of a brawler. And then, you know, not counting 01 where he just threw his body to the wind and said, screw it. But of old school, you know, stunning into early Stone Cold where he could really still go in the ring. That match is fantastic till the finish. The Undertaker match, really, really, really damn good. Plus one of the best, you know, long-term builds in company history with the Highway to Hell really made that SummerSlam the ushering in of the Attitude Era. And then the Angle match speaks for itself. I mean, probably a top 3 SummerSlam match of all time, if not at least top 5. So, I mean, I think just on the back of the Angle match and the Taker build, and then plus the quality of the Owen match, I think at least gets them to the next round in my eyes. Rock, I think I could leave here.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I want to hear Johnny Sorrow. Well, first, Scott, are you passing either of these guys through? Your call, man.
JR makes a good point, and I don't think you could really, now that I've been thinking about it while he was talking, I don't know if you could put, I think you either got to put both or you put neither.
Think politically, Scott. You want that vote for Triple H later. You back me up now.
I'm going to tear this room apart. I don't really care what anybody thinks, to be quite honest with you.
Don't worry, actually, Scott. You're going to be shocked at my Triple H.
I'm going to move both on.
Because
they may not, they may not get all the way to the end, but I think they both deserve a second look.
Johnny, would you move both of these guys on?
I would move Austin on. I don't think he's going to get to the end, but in fact, I know he's not. I would move Austin on, but I don't think I'd move The Rock on.
Okay, so we'll eliminate The Rock. Anything else you want to say about these two guys and their runs, Johnny? Before,
yeah, well, for me, it's like I said, I'm looking at each case individually and the merits that they bring to the stage, and I don't know, Austin for that four, but just bam, you know, just the force of nature. You know, the back upon which all of that really was, you know, they always say what a team effort it was. Like, fuck that. It was Austin. And so he, to me, beats out The Rock. And if, I think one of these guys should go through. And if so, Austin.
I wouldn't put either one of them through. I know I was already outvoted on Austin. I just don't think there's enough meat there, man, for either guy. And
I just feel like you have a top five match on the show, you're at least going to be in consideration for Mr. Summer. I mean, it's not like if it's not even just like a undercard spot fest either. I mean, it's a, you know, world title match on top of one of the biggest shows of the run.
Yeah, well, let's look at some other guys in contention. And right now, we're still kind of going through guys. Now we're going through guys that were there from the early Hulk Hogan days up until recently. You know, and one of them is actually going to wrestle this week.
Pat Patterson?
Yeah, Pat Patterson. Oh. Yeah, so, you know, him in Morocco, him in Tito. No, anyway, let's do HBK. And HBK, this was interesting because I thought he would have had a lot more going on than he actually did. And it was he starts off in 1990, the Rockers versus Power and Glory.
Actually, 89, Will. Six man.
What? What was he in?
The Rockers and my one of my favorite matches, one of the reasons I'm going to push him ahead, is Rockers and Tito versus the Rougeaus and Martel.
Oh, tremendous shit, okay. Man. Overlooked it, yeah, because I was looking for Sean, and he wasn't, like, listed as Sean. It was, like, Rockers. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, so that one, 90, was he in 91 before I move on?
No.
No. All right, 92 versus Rick Martel, where they wouldn't touch each other. A disappointing match in 93 against Mr. Perfect. An all-time classic against mm-hmm. Razor Ramon in the ladder match in 95. A match that should have been much better than it was against Vader in 96. Scott, I'm going to let you talk about this one in a second, the Triple H 2002 match. I hate it, but I have a feeling you like it, so I want to hear your opinion
like
on
it. He sleeps with it every night.
You know I like it too. So
yeah, I know you like it too. Elimination Chamber 2003. Who won that Elimination Chamber? Was it Sean? Right?
No.
Was it Triple H hitting Goldberg over the head? The Hulk Hogan spectacle in 2005. With Triple H versus the McMahons in 2006, and DX versus the Legacy in 2009, and that match that went on forever around the arena. I mean, he has enough strong performances here to move on, but I give this guy a very underwhelming push to the next round. Like I just feel like he could have such a better resume for being, you know, for being a guy who was right up there for Mr. WrestleMania. His SummerSlam stuff is not getting me excited at all. So, JR, why is he going to the next round for you?
Well, I love that six man. One of my favorites. A sprint all the way through with six great workers. So that to me is a showcase match of his. The Razor Ramon match, I think, is equal to, if not better, than the WrestleMania 10 ladder match, and that's coming off of just having watched both recently.
All-time classic.
Five stars. Easy five stars. Vader, yes, could have been better. Hamstrung a bit by the false stops in the middle. I think it's still really good, especially on kind of a down show quality-wise. It was still a pretty good main event, and he worked hard there. You know, the Triple H match, I'm somewhere in between, like you and Scott. I don't think it's like this great all-time fantastic shutdown classic, but I don't think it's garbage. I think it's really, really good. I think maybe they did things they didn't need to do, but that's an argument for the podcast. But again, it was very, very good. And the Hogan match I like too, just for the spectacle, like you mentioned, Will. Just a scene, him bumping around for like a madman for Hogan, and the story, seeing Sean go heel for the first time in forever was great. And then, you know, I wanted to count the Power and Glory match, but he's not in it. He's on the floor the whole match. And I love that match.
Sure.
Power and Glory just beating the crap out of Jannetty. So it's almost hard to credit him with that one. I think there's enough there between Ramon being one of the best matches in SummerSlam history, the six-man and the Vader match, and the Triple H match. She'll at least say he deserves a push to the next round.
At least to the second round, I guess, man. Scott.
Oh, Sean definitely belongs in the next round. No doubt about it. I think every match, I mean, the tag stuff, I mean, you know, he wasn't quite Sean, and he was sharing the stage, but I do love the 89 six-man. He takes a dip with that perfect match in 93, but I also think the expectations for that match were so ridiculous that I don't know if either of them could have reached them.
I think they could have, because other great wrestlers have.
That's why
I argue against that kind of point, you know.
Well, don't forget, it's
a weird case too.
But there's also two guys in the ring too. You know, Perfect's got to take some of the blame for that too. I'm not just saying. I mean, but I agree with you.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think Perfect's always cracked up to be. I'm just saying, you know, it's, you know, we've seen guys live up to those matches. You know,
yeah,
that's a match that took place just at the wrong time. Like Sean was in that weird spot where he ended up getting suspended, and whether it was drugs or being fat or whatever the reason was. And Perfect's back was starting to give out. Like, when they wrestled a couple times earlier when Sean was with the Rockers, like a 91 or whatever, way better match.
Yeah. You know, the Martel match was good. You know, he got to coast in 94. Razor 95 speaks for itself. I think every match had some importance to it. And, I mean, we won't debate the 02 match. We all have varying opinions of it. The heel turn in 05 was fantastic. From all different spectrums, from personality and in ring and at the, you know, the time period that he was in, Sean definitely belongs to the next round. Definitely.
Sorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. The short thing. Moving on.
No. I agree. A lot of points. I like the Triple H 02 match. In fact, that was the thing I looked forward to the most that night. And I thought it delivered for me. I loved the Hogan ridiculousness. It was a blast. I liked that legacy match that went all over the place. I remember really enjoying the fuck out of that.
I just wished it would end already. It was so long.
But anyway, yeah, definitely. I don't know if he's going to be my final three, but he definitely should go through.
Okay. Well, let's move on to his best buddy in the whole world, his BFF forever, Triple H. And so Triple H made his SummerSlam debut. Make sure I'm right, JR. You're my historian here. Versus Mankind in 97 in the cage, right?
No, it was actually 1995 before Bob Holly.
But that was a pre-show, free-for-all match, right?
Nope.
It was on the card.
Nope, second match on the card.
Fuck, man. I am off my game here. All right, so versus Bob Holly. Was he in 96?
No.
Punished.
Okay. There we go. Good. All right. Versus The Rock in 98 in the ladder match. To me, that's a classic match. The Mankind cage match is classic. Versus Mankind in Austin in 99. That match is garbage. You know what? I'm going to give Triple H credit for the 2000 match, because him and Rock had a decent match. When the minute Kurt Angle gets his concussion, anything they had planned beforehand probably just went out the window. So right. I actually give him props for that.
Mm-hmm.
Versus HBK, there's no way he should have ever pinned Goldberg ever. I know Johnny Sorrow disagrees with me, but that was
complete
bullshit.
The match was really good though until that point.
Yeah, but fuck that match.
I know, I'm just saying.
Versus Eugene, you know what? Fuck this. We're ending the show right now. Goldberg, Mr. SummerSlam. There you go. Done. All right, guys. Thanks for having me. Listen to Place Be Nation. And Johnny's popping the beer. All right. No. Then we get into, man, I mean, this is what hurts Triple H for me. I think he has enough stuff to at least get into the next round. But, I mean, Eugene in 2004, the McMahon's match in 2006, the Booker match in 2007, Khali, the great Khali in 2008. Then you got the Legacy match in 2009 and the Brock Lesnar feud in 2012. So, Scott, you know I was going to start with you on Triple H, mm-hmm. man. I mean,
time to play the game!
I thought you were going to play the whole thing. Boy, Brad would really killed you if you played the whole medley now.
Oh, God.
No, he does not belong into the next round. Nah, his
wow! Tail, I put him through, man.
His last five, all of his SummerSlam matches after 04 are pretty bad. They're pretty bad. Or they're average. I wouldn't say they're bad. They're average. Not enough to move on to the next round compared to some of these other guys. So.
Okay.
You only care about 2 minutes of a match. The chamber would have been fine if he didn't win. I think that's a horrendous opinion you give, Will. I'm sorry. Horrendous. It would have been a fine chamber match if somebody else won. Because the last 30 seconds ruined it for
only
you.
Only one person could have won that chamber. You know, yeah,
Kevin Nash.
No, and it does. You know what, man? When I am emotionally invested in a product like I was hanging on by a thread in 2003, yeah, booking matters. But, you know, it's only when I try to isolate my emotional investment and just look at it as a wrestling match that I can enjoy it. And that to me, that damages it. It absolutely does. I agree with you, Scott.
Mm-hmm. But I appreciate the vote of confidence. Well, I'm going to make sure I play this podcast on a loop for posterity. But we're going to have guys who've had much better SummerSlam resumes. I think his, and I listened to the WrestleMania podcast. I think his WrestleMania resume is much better than anybody gave it credit for in that show. But
horrible.
But well, you're horrible. And I think his, but his SummerSlam resume. No, I don't think he moves on.
Okay, Johnny Sorrow.
Well, see, Scott, you weren't aware of this, but about 30 years ago, a young Paul Levesque was living in Texas for a short period of time and used to give wedgies on the playground to young William because it's the only reason that...
Roided up wedgies.
Such hatred.
Hold on, and then he moved to South Carolina and started picking on Dylan Hells, right,
yes,
Johnny?
Yeah. Okay. it was a conspiracy theory.
Exactly, that's all it is.
Yeah. So I'm a little torn because there's so much stuff I really like, and there's stuff that I didn't. A lot of those matches I don't even remember in that 2000s run. I was like, Kali, I have no memory of this. You know, so it didn't strike a chord. Or the Booker T one, I was like, wait a minute, that was WrestleMania. Oh, really? They fought at SummerSlam too?
Well, what was the story behind that, JR? The Booker T fight in 2007.
King versus King.
It was King, the King thing. That's
well,
right.
It was Hunter's return, too. He had been out since January with when he tore his quad. So that was his return match. Yeah. And he came back like just with the huge HGH gut. Him and Rey Mysterio both made their return on that show, and both were just
right.
Up.
Got it.
Right. And I remember not liking that because I was such a fan of King Booker at the time that it just pissed me off because the guy who I didn't want to win won, and it was Triple H. Whereas in the chamber match, I like bad guys, and I don't like Goldberg, so seeing him get hit in the noggin with a fucking sledgehammer was A-okay by me. That's what I care about. The guy who I'm cheering for wins. So, but I'm not putting him through.
Okay. Well, he's out. Scott, or JR, he's out. I actually put him through. Wow. Okay. But JR, your opinions on Triple H and SummerSlam?
I think his SummerSlam record or, you know, catalog mirrors his career in that he became really good to great as a compiler, a guy that hung around longer than everyone else, was able to pick up really good matches and angles just because he was there for so long and, you know, feuded with so many different levels of guys throughout his tenure. Just like a great baseball player that plays 22 years and piles up good stats because he was around forever versus a guy that had a great peak. Like, I don't know, outside of his 2000 run, does he ever have a great peak? I don't think so. I think he's just been around a long time, and I think the breadth of his matches screams that. He's the one that has the most so far, maybe close to a couple, but and at the end, like you said, look, he's just picking up matches here and there, and nothing really, really stands out. And the Lesnar match is okay. I think their best match was the Extreme Rules, the cage match. I mean, this one's better than their Mania kerfluffle. But yeah, I guess I'd probably leave him behind because I don't see him getting. Okay. I don't see him getting much further than you know, soft talk in the next round. And
right. Well, I'm going to mention a couple of guys, and we don't have to discuss them just because there's no way they make it through the next round.
Ron Bass.
Yeah, Ron Bass. Exactly.
He was screwed.
But seriously, check this Murderer's Row of matches.
Chris Benoit?
Oh my goodness! Yeah,
Sorrow.
Hey, and JR Scott, just so you know, if y'all were going to make a crate case for Benoit, my show, my rules does not exist.
I sent you my list, Willie. I know the game. He's not even on there.
So no, check out this list of matches, and y'all can add another horrible match to it if I forgot one. Versus Kamala in 1992. Versus Giant Gonzalez in 1993. Versus the Under Faker in 1994. Versus Kama in 1995 in a casket match. Then he has the Mankind Broiler Room Brawl in 96, Brett in 97, Austin 98. But then look at this run. Kane and X-Pac against Big Show and Taker in 99.
That's not an awful match, though.
It sucked. Nah. Kane in 2000. Awful. This one was completely unprofessional squash. Kane and Taker versus DDP and Canyon in 2001. Versus Test in 2002, versus A-Train in 2003, JBL in 2004. I don't even remember that being a bad match, but I remember one of their matches being good. Well, they had a good match.
No, so I mean, that was okay. That was more about the crowd. Those two matches you mentioned before, though, the Test and the Albert one, those were actually pretty fun little power matches. I mean, nothing that would make him Mr. SummerSlam, but those actually weren't too bad.
Then he had the match against Orton in 2005 and Edge in 2008. I think Undertaker has way too many bad matches to even be considered. Does anyone want to make the case for Undertaker? If not, I'm going to move on to another guy.
I'm not going to make the case, but I would have put him through.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Wow.
Oh, yep. Shit. Would anyone else besides Johnny put him through, JR?
I mean, he's had some really good matches, but he's just had some awful ones. I mean, like, some of those are legit, like, bottom five, you know?
Yeah,
it's like, tough. But,
match of all time
but
shit.
The Austin match, the Mankind match, the Edge match, like, those three are really good. So, and then he's had some other solid ones, but, whatever. If you would have came to me and said I'd put him in, I probably wouldn't argue with you. And if you say he's not going to go through, I wouldn't argue with you.
Except, again, my reasoning here has nothing to do with match quality. It has something to do with just like that, for the most part, mid-card attraction-type match against crazy monsters thing. And just there for that long doing that shit until the other stuff. He's a presence that was there so often that he just, for me, that's part of the whole Mr. WrestleMania thing. He would have been my final guy, but I would have put him through just based on that.
To finish it out, it's six of one and a half dozen the other. I mean, he's had some gems. His match with Austin at the Garden in 98 is one of my favorite matches ever. But that, the Undertaker under Faker, which I just watched recently, is the unbelievable shit, that match. The Kane match in 2000 is just utter garbage. I like the squash with Kane. Maybe because I didn't like Canyon, I really could care less about either of them. Maybe that's why, but I didn't have a problem with it. But I agree with JR that the Test in 02 and Test in 02 and Albert in 03 were actually fun because Taker was not in the dead man phase, so he was able to kind of give and take some power moves, which made the matches more entertaining. I think that was where, the dead man character kind of hurts him, because the back and forth of those two matches were pretty good, and some of the other ones weren't. It's a bummer he didn't wrestle Batista in one of those awesome matches he had in 07 on the other pay per views, because I would have put him through here, but I don't know if I can.
Okay, let's leave him behind, because fuck him. All right, another guy with some unbelievably bad matches, and that's our man Kane. I mean, he was in 11 matches. The Yanka match against Brett, which we already talked about. Taker and Show versus Kane and X-Pac. Then we got the Kane-Taker match from 2000. The Canyon-DDP tag that we talked about. Then we've got him versus Rob Van Dam. Kane versus Matt Hardy in where the winner marries Lita. Then we have in 2007, Kane beating Fit Finlay. To me, that's blasphemy. There's no way he should have ever beat Fit Finlay. Fit Finlay is a legend, a man amongst men. All right, then we got Kane versus the Great Khali. Okay, Kane versus Rey Mysterio. I watched that match for the Place to Be Nation last year. Better than most Kane matches, which would make it one of Rey Mysterio's least matches. That's how I look on that. And one of the worst matches of all time in 2013, Kane versus Bray Wyatt in that Ring of Fire match. Oh, and the Kane versus Daniel Bryan in 2012. That was underwhelming. So anyone want to make a case for Kane before I move on? Because I kind of got a little bit of vomit in my throat as I was reading those matches off. So anybody?
No.
No?
No. Nah.
All right, good. Let's move on. Let's
hey,
move
on. Wait a minute.
What? He's already been eliminated.
I know. I'm just thinking, really? Vomiting in your mouth? Really?
very few guys can you know, make me react that way more than Kane, man. Ugh. Well, let's go to a guy who, you know, people have varying opinions on this guy on the internet. And, you know, I'm going to kind of let y'all figure this one out. And this is Edge. And so in 1998, him and Sable versus Mero and Luna. I remember having fun with that match when it happened live.
Yeah, me too.
The King of the Hill, a tag team match in 99, kind of just whatever. One of the all-time memorable SummerSlam matches, TLC 2000 with the Dudleys and the Hardys and Christian. A match that I praise, that I back up, versus Lance Storm in 2001, you know, during the height of the Invasion stuff. Versus Eddie Guerrero in 2002, which wasn't as good as their SmackDown match, but was still really fun. Versus Jericho and Batista in a three-way in 2004. The Matt Hardy match was not the great match, but it was like the real short, super short, like 4-minute fight. Versus John Cena in 2006, versus Undertaker in 2008. And he was part of the Nexus tag in 2010. JR, Edge, is he going in to the next round for you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the TLC match is a classic. I like the Storm match and the Guerrero match. Like you said, well, the SmackDown one is much superior, but the SummerSlam one's good too. The Hardy match is interesting because on the surface it wasn't that great, but that feud was so hot. Remember, Hardy had just come back from his little indie run when he caught fire, and they brought him back.
Yeah.
Edge just beats the memory, just knocks him out and drops him on the post, and it was a real fight. They really stiff each other, and that set up the really good cage match at Unforgiven. And his match with Cena was good, and the Undertaker match was good. So yeah, I think he deserves to move on.
Johnny Sorrow.
I agree. I think he, you're listening to all those matches, I'm going, I didn't hate any of these. In fact, I quite enjoyed a lot of them. I enjoyed that Matt Hardy one because I was rooting for Edge. Fuck Hardy.
Look at you. Look at you. Fucking heel fan.
Fucking Hardy. Whiny. Fucking what a heel fan. Whiny. What a whiny little bitch calling in to bite this. Oh, you broke up with me. I'm glad he dumped him on his fucking head on the post. Fuck him.
All right, Scott.
I would definitely move Edge on. Almost every match was really good, had a good story to tell. He was in a good position in the company, and the result helped him. So I definitely move Edge on.
Okay. Let's move on to another guy, another Canadian. So, and I included a moment on here that I think needs to be mentioned. That's his debut in the company in 1999, Chris Jericho. What a memorable debut at SummerSlam. Okay. Then he has the Benoit match in 2000, which is usually praised. The Rhino Botch Fest in 2001. He fought Flair in 2002. He was part of the Elimination Chamber in 2003. Versus Batista and Edge in 2004. Versus Cena in 2005. You know, that's one of my favorite Jericho feuds, is that where Cena sends him packing and he starts crying.
Yeah, it was great.
In that televised Raw Loser Leaves Town match. With Big Show versus Crime Time in 2009. I was actually at the Night of Champions that year in Philly. I don't remember this Crime Time match. Versus Nexus in 2010. He was part of that big Nexus deal. Versus Dolph Ziggler in 2012 and versus Bray Wyatt in 2014. This is kind of a weird one. I don't know if any of those are enough, like, for all-time classic status to move them through. What do you think, Sorrow?
So, well, I kept expecting to hear one against Michaels, but we just did Michaels, so.
Well, the Michaels.
I love that feud so much. And,
right, we should mention year. That that's when.
He punched Michael's wife in the face.
Yeah, I think that has to be included. Oh, in the list. Because that was like almost like
sure,
a match.
Sure.
Yeah.
That was awesome. He punched her right in the mush. There's a lot of stuff I like, and I really like Jericho more than most, especially currently. But I can't put him through.
Yeah, I just don't think there's the all-time singles classic on here.
Agreed.
That kind of hurts him. JR?
Agreed. And even that Benoit match is not one of their best. It's very good, but not one of their best. And they had much better. And, yeah, I don't think anything else really stands out. I mean, even the Cena match is very good, but... I mean, and the Ziggler match may be the best of the bunch for them. But, yeah, I mean, I think the highlight was when he hit Michael's wife. I mean, that was a great moment.
or the debut going toe-to-toe. Yeah, what about you, Scott?
Yeah, it's difficult. I think his opponents were never the best. I mean, last year he fought Bray? I mean, he already had that, right? Did he fight Bray last year? Was there a rematch at Battleground?
Which one did he beat him at? He beat him at Battleground, then lost to SummerSlam.
He beat him at Battleground a lot, yeah. Yeah, there's not that one. I mean, all these guys need to have at least one distinctive standalone match, and Jericho just doesn't have it. Like JR said, the Benoit matches, it's all right. They had better. I would say that Jericho's standout SummerSlam moment is when he cold cocked the Whisper. So when he made Whisper shout at that in 2008.
Johnny Sorrow's calling you out for a shit joke, you know, then.
Yeah. Johnny Sorrow, the fucking joke Nazi over there.
The unknown comic.
You will be funny, or I will be taking you to the showers.
Yeah, I can't put Jericho here. There's no standout match there.
All right. There's a couple of guys where, you know, they kind of fit in that Austin Rock territory, and that there's only a few matches, but I think they deserve at least a mention. I don't think I would put either guy through, even though I love both of them, and we'll just kind of eliminate them or pass them through at the same time here. And that's Eddie Guerrero and Jeff Hardy. Eddie Guerrero was was with China versus Val Venus and Trish in 2000. Versus Edge in 2002. He was part of a Fatal 4-Way in 2003 with who was in that match? Tajiri?
Rhino and Benoit.
There you go. And then versus Kurt Angle in 2004 and versus Rey Mysterio in the ladder match in 2005. And then I look at Jeff Hardy, and please, I mean, JR, correct me, but it looks like he only had like five matches. The King of the Hill in 1999, TLC in 2000, versus RVD in 2001, but SummerSlam their really good match, or was yes. Invasion?
SummerSlam's a ladder match, right?
They're both good.
Yeah,
okay.
They're both really good.
Yeah. And then the next match I saw, and please correct me if I'm wrong, was versus MVP in 2008, and then the really great CM Punk ladder match in 2009.
And the MVP match is really good. I mean, the first one you throw away, the King of the Hill, but four out of his five were great, very good to great. I mean, the Punk match is very, very good. TLC is great. And then RVD is very, very good. And the MVP match is really good, too. That was a hot opener in 08 when Hardy
My favorite was out of all of them, including TLC, is the Punk match by far. But, you know, Mark. So
I think despite the small resume, I would put him through. Because I think he had four like high-level to great matches. And that TLC, to me, carries a lot of weight.
It doesn't carry anything for me. It's because it's six guys. I don't know. I wouldn't put them through. Scott,
Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
I would put Jeff Hardy through. Yeah.
Okay. Johnny, Jeff Hardy, yes or no?
Does it come down to me?
Yeah.
Oh, this is just like in that scene in Bachelor Party. Yeah. Debbie, the car. Debbie, the car. Yeah. Thank you. It was the 80s, kids.
That's why only me and Scott are laughing, because we remember the Bachelor Party.
Boo!
See, it's a nuanced joke. I can't put him through. I'd rather... I agree that... that's tough. I want to put Eddie through because I love Eddie so much.
I think I can't. Here's what hurts Eddie for me. Is that I think he had better matches, and I used the same excuse on another SummerSlam show, but I think he had better matches with the guys elsewhere. Like, I think he had better Ray matches in that feud. I think he had better Edge matches in that feud. I think he had better Kurt Angle matches. Like, I like the WrestleMania match a lot. Yeah. So I just think that Eddie's not going to make it. If I can't put Eddie through, I'm not going to put Jeff Hardy through.
So. Okay, I'm with you. Solidarity, brother.
And Eddie, J.R. Scott, would any of y'all fight for Eddie or no?
No. And I'm not going to die in the Hardy Hill, so that's fine.
Not.
Okay. So
yeah, I mean, it's funny. Just one point. Will, you're correct that Eddie, the matches and the feuds were good, just not on this month. Like, if we were talking about pick your best of each feud, none of them would be at SummerSlam.
Right. You know? Eddie's part of like some of my favorite feuds of all time in WWE, just for that short 2003 to 2005 run. You know. Right. After he got clean, yeah. But man, I can't.
The best matches just didn't hit in this month,
right? So. Well, let's go into another guy. Let's go into a couple.
Ooh, really?
Of guys.
Ooh,
yeah. Well, we can go in from behind, Johnny, or from the front, however you want to go.
I didn't know we were going to Triple H. All right, Scott, go ahead.
Well, you know, we need to get that drop, and we need to get also the drop of you saying, all right, let's do HBK, because this show is a landmine of brainbuster drops.
Even Graham can use that for the opening of the Pro Wrestling Super Show.
Oh, nice. All right. Well, we're gonna pair these guys together. Okay.
Ooh.
Yes, we're going to pair them, and we're going to pair Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar together, okay? Look at this. Kurt Angle versus Rock and Triple H 2000. He wasn't even in the match. Yeah, I can't even consider that part of the match.
Nah.
But look at this. Versus Austin in 2001. Maybe the best SummerSlam opener versus Mysterio in 2002. I actually like the SummerSlam Brock Angle match better than the Mania match with the botch at the end. Versus Eddie in 2004 and Eugene in 2005. Then we look at Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. Look at this. Versus Rock in 2002 in a great main event. Versus Angle in 2003. Comes back versus Triple H in 2012. Murders. Great match. One of the best SummerSlam matches of all time versus Punk in 2013. And then the Cena squash in 2014. So I really wanted to include these guys because I think they had some really memorable matchups. But is there enough meat on the bone? What do you think, Scott? Use that one, Johnny. Meat on the bone.
I would move Kurt on. I would not move Brock on.
Okay, why?
I think Kurt's resume is unbelievable. Every match. And even 2000, he recovered psychology-wise to make that match even better, even though Triple H and Rock did all the heavy lifting. The match with Austin's awesome. The match with Ray is awesome. The match with Brock is awesome. The match with Eddie is really good. Who did he fight in 05?
Eugene.
That was metal thing.
Yeah, well, that's what he like squashes them, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was a fun squash, and then he was gone. And then he was gone in 06. I think Kurt belongs in.
Rock has those super solid matches. I mean, the Rock main event, the Angle match, the Punk match is like a classic. I mean, that's kind of why I chose 2013 as my favorite SummerSlam. Him and, you know, between that and Cena Bryan, man, two of the best SummerSlam matches of all time.
Yeah, I'll move Brock on. Brock on.
Well, what about you, JR? Brock and Kurt?
I move them both on. I think Brock actually has a stronger resume. Angle Austin and Angle Ray are high level SummerSlam matches. And I like the Brock match too. I like 19 better, but I like the SummerSlam match as well. The Guerrero match is fine. Not as good as 20, like you mentioned, Will. And the Eugene squash is there. So I think Kurt's resume has two great matches, and I think it's enough to get him through. I think Brock's resume is better. I mean, the Rock match is tremendous. And then, you know, as awkward, I guess I'll say, as the Triple H match was, him breaking his arm at the end at least is something fun and a positive note for Brock. But his last two matches get him through alone. I mean, if those were his only two matches, I'd still put him through. Because the Punk match is again, another top three SummerSlam match of all time. And the Cena is probably the most memorable SummerSlam main event of all time, honestly. I mean, while it may not be the best match, it was such a spectacle.
Pure spectacle.
And
pure
it's something you never expected. I mean, he went in there and destroyed the face of the company in a way we've never seen before, laughed off his offense, and just destroyed him. I mean, it was unbelievable. And to me, that makes him at least a contender for Mr. SummerSlam, because he has one of the top two or three greatest matches of all time and maybe the top moment of all time. So to me, that at least has to have him in the conversation.
Oh, okay, well, let's see. Johnny, are you moving both of these guys in, or are you going to let me decide?
Here's the thing, real quick. I think that the Cena match of 2013 is not a spectacle. It is a great match. It's an awesome match. Not every match has to be competitive to be awesome.
Yeah,
professional wrestling match. You know, as a performance, and what they put on my screen as a performance was amazing and different and new and wow and fucking awesome. That happens in, you want to play that whole real sports analogy? That happens in real sports sometimes.
Yeah.
Someone gets fucking murdered who was a top team or guy. I was going to not put either of them through, though, because, and here's why. We're going for the whole Mr. SummerSlam title. I just don't see it being on either of these guys as much as I enjoy everything that you guys say. So I'm going to defer and let Good William be the final the final choice maker here.
Well, I'm going to piss somebody off, so I might as well get it over with. I'm taking Kurt Angle out. Sorry, I have to. I just don't think that the resume is strong enough, even with the Great Austin match and the Fun Mysterio match. But I'm putting Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. I'm putting Brock Lesnar through because he's in the all-time great Punk match and the Rock main event, which was
Will. Amazing. Will, I have to ask you one question.
Tell me.
If Kurt Angle had a SummerSlam match against CM Punk, he'd be going through. Is that what you're saying?
No, if he would have had the match against Daniel Bryan I wanted to see, then he'd be going through. I think Kurt Angle versus CM Punk would be a clusterfuck. I don't think it would be any good. So, having said that, sorry, Kurt Angle, you're out. Brock Lesnar, you're in. Just because, man, even this year, match hasn't even taken place yet, and Brock Lesnar did the unthinkable and got me excited about an Undertaker match, which I haven't been excited about in 2 years. So
I think if there's any show you could argue Brock is Mr. Something at SummerSlam. To me, that's been his best work.
It's close,
pay-per-view wise.
Hey, we still got a few guys to run through, but we've been going quite a while, guys. So I want to make sure we get all the Place to Be Nation shout-outs through. And then when we come back, we're going to run down some other important wrestlers. And then we're going to decide Mr. SummerSlam. You're listening to the Place to Be Nation.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out myself and Scott Criscolo on The Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews and our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you there, including Main Events, which features a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super Show, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on the positives of the business. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past through Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave's Wrestling Culture podcast, our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance podcast starring myself and Pro Wrestling Only's Will, diving into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, The Kings of Sport featuring Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Sound hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Senior, as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes a year-round deep dive into pro hoops. PTBN also proudly features Richard and the Mailman podcast, which specializes in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also home to the tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island in Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats, RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.
The Place to Be Nation and Pro Wrestling Only are proud to present the PWO PTBN Podcast Network. Join us for a variety of great shows that explore all the facets of professional wrestling.
Join good old Will from Texas for our Place to Be Nation reaction shows and Goodwill Wrestling, which has been kicking since before JR had barbecue sauce.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play and join Chad and Parv as they discuss classic NWA and WCW pay-per-view.
And take in one of our newest podcasts, Exile on Bed Street, and allow Chris Zellner to give you a history lesson about important moments in wrestling's colorful past.
Listen to Johnny, Pete, Parv, and Kelly, the Titans of Wrestling, as they examine in-depth the history of the WWF in the 1970s and 1980s.
And then there's Brainbuster, the wrestling game show, tag teams back again, the Pro Wrestling Super Show, the All Japan Excite Series, and the Super Extreme Vault for some ECW, ECW.
You can hear all of these great podcasts and more on one feed. Remember, PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network, part of the Place to Be Nation family. Okay, welcome back to the Place to Be Nation. This is Will, and I'm here with JR, Scott, and Johnny Sorrow, and we're going to decide Mr. SummerSlam. Now, guys, we just eliminated Kurt Angle. We just moved Brock Lesnar through. We didn't move him into our house. And next, we're going to go with one Rey Mysterio. Now, his first SummerSlam was in 2002 versus Kurt Angle. Make sure I'm not getting this wrong here, JR. His next match was in 2005 versus Eddie. Is that right?
No. So 2004, he teamed with London and Kidman against the Dudleys.
I don't even remember that match.
It was a great opener. It was really, really fun.
Okay.
It was a good opener.
I'll take your word for it. Then the Eddie ladder match in 2005 versus Chavo Guerrero in 2006 and 2007. One of my favorite Dolph Ziggler matches in 2009. The Kane match in 2010, the six-man tag opener in 2011. Remember, he had just lost the title, the interim title to John Cena in the build-up to that one. And then they stuck him in the opening six-man, and then he was out for a long time. And then the Miz match in 2012. Do you think Mysterio has enough there, Scott? Or I don't know, do you think the resume is just too weak to put through?
Yeah, I wouldn't put him through. He had a couple of gems. The feud with Chavo wasn't bad, but a lot of forgotten tags in the beginning. And even though quality-wise the ladder match with Eddie's good, everyone just laughs at the ridiculous premise of fighting for custody of a child via a ladder match. But I wouldn't move. I wouldn't move Ray on.
Go
JR.
I was gonna say if you're not putting Angle through, I don't see how Ray can go through. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
Yeah, good point. I agree.
Johnny Sorrow?
I can't put him through, but child custody decided in a ladder match is the greatest fucking thing ever. I'll not have you besmirch that. That's the fucking best. And it drew, that whole thing, as ridiculous as it was, drew huge fucking ratings.
That's true.
Huge, especially in the Hispanic community. Because they're watching two Hispanic wrestlers doing a telenova on SmackDown, which was at the time not on cable. And for a lot of people couldn't afford – I mean, I'm not trying to paint a swath of like Hispanic people can't afford cable.
Racist.
But,
Hogan,
yeah, well,
brother.
Let me tell you something, brother. As soon as I fuck your wife, I'm going to be fucking racist. And then eat some sushi. But that drew fucking huge race, and I enjoyed. Of course, it's fucking ridiculous. I loved every minute of it. But no, I can't put Ray through.
That's gonna be up there with Angles, where if you put like anyone else in, it would be completely different and bombed. But with them, it worked. Like, I mean, it's gonna be one of the top ones in WWF history with that level of.
Yeah.
If you swapped either of the guy out, it just doesn't work. But with them, they make it work.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And Eddie was classic in that feud.
So good,
so awesome. So let's go to a couple of more guys here. Let's do CM Punk. Now he had the disappointing match with John Morrison in 2007. The match with JBL in 2008. The Great Hardy match, Jeff Hardy ladder match in 2009. Man, one of my biggest letdowns, him and the Straight Edge Society versus the Big Show in 2010, the awesome John Cena match in 2011, the three-way with John Cena and Big Show in 2012, which kind of brought it down a notch. And then the awesome Brock Lesnar match in 2013. So he has three really strong matches. But there's some weak stuff here too, man. I don't know. JR?
I think he's very, again, very similar to Kurt Angle with the two really high-level matches. And I think what he has, what Kurt's missing, is the third. So I'd put him through. I think he has the Hardy match, the Cena match, and the Lesnar match are all really, really great and deserve to get him into the next level.
Okay. What about you, Scott?
Oh, Punk's in. For me, Punk's in easy. In fact, I might defend Punk close to the end. I mean, those three matches alone, those aren't just great matches. Those matches are thought of, you know, reverently as some of the greatest in the history of the pay-per-view dating back to 1988. I hope someday we get a Punk Brock sequel. I think that, you know, that's one that I think is going to linger in air for a long time unless it happens.
Yeah, yeah. So does Dana White.
Nobody cares about him either. I think Punk's got to go in. I think SummerSlam might have been for the lack of moments he had at WrestleMania. He certainly did not have a lack of moments at SummerSlam. I move him on.
I'm going to agree with you. Johnny, would you put Punk through to the next round?
No.
No shit. No shit. Well, no. Well, why not? Why not?
Here's why. I'll tell you why. To me, it just feels like when he decided to leave, and God bless him, it just cuts it off for me. If he had stuck around, you know, if he was happy and stuck around and had more and more great matches like those, then I'd be willing to call him Mr. SummerSlam. As it is, it's just like, you know, some middling stuff to start, boom, hits it out of the park a few times, and then leaves. And that's, you know, and I'm not bashing him for leaving, you know, I don't want it to come off that way. But to me, I'm just like, that's not the guy I'm going to say. That's Mr. SummerSlam.
Okay,
so, well, no.
Company defender till the end, Johnny Sorrow.
Nothing, don't blow me.
I'll tell you, when he left, he really killed it for me, but I'm not going to blame him for leaving.
Huh. Oh, I don't blame him for leaving either. I just think if we're going to talk about a career and then SummerSlam, okay. You know, I'm just like, if he'd stuck around, because Punk was one of my favorites, actually. Will.
You know. Oh, if you say so, Johnny.
Oh, the guy, you're talking about the guy who would go see him in Ring of Honor for like, you're sure. Just cheering and sure. Loving the guy. So come on.
Sure. Okay. So let's go to two final guys. And then guys, if you want to add anybody after this, we'll talk about them too.
Los Barriquas as a group, or do you want to do them separately?
Well, I was going to go Los Matadors and with the possible outlier of Torito.
Yes. Okay. I was going to go with Dangerous Danny Davis, but you know,
yeah, let's do Randy Orton here, because for a guy who's kind of like been pushed near at the top, I'm not really enamored with the totality of his SummerSlam run, but let's go down. So he was in the Elimination Chamber in 2003, yeah, versus Benoit in 2004. That's when he won the title, right?
His first title match. Yep.
Versus Undertaker in 2005, Hulk Hogan in 2006. He fought John Cena in 2007 and 2009, had the Sheamus match in 2010, and what hurts that is that I've seen that matchup so many times that when I did the rewatch, I just didn't care.
And again this Sunday.
Yeah, and this another great match hurt by the fact that they redid it 15 million times was his Christian feud.
Yeah,
great
that match is awesome.
I know, but it's when you're talking about emotional connection after wrestling for 15 times, it's really hard just to get into the matches after a while. And then the disappointing Roman Reigns match from last year. So I would leave him off because, you know, besides the Christian match, which I don't even know if it would make my top 10, but I really like it, I don't know if I would put Randy Orton through. So I'm going to say no. Scott, what do you think about Orton?
Yeah, I don't think I'd put Orton in. I think a lot of his matches were generic. The match with Benoit 04 is really good. I mean, I like his matches with Cena, but the rest of the resume is pretty uneventful. So I wouldn't move him on.
If you got a big title win in 13, Will.
What was it?
No, it's just when Triple H pedigree Daniel Bryan.
Oh, fuck that! You know I'm trying to keep to not remember
big
that
moment.
The moment sucked. Worst SummerSlam moment of all time. Automatically disqualified. Sorrow, what about business. Orton?
I like Randy Orton a lot more than most, especially lately, and I'm looking forward to the match tomorrow a lot. But I'm not putting him through because sort of my same reasoning. Lots of good stuff, lots of ass stuff, but nothing that would make me say, that's Mr. SummerSlam. So, no.
And JR.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, it's two highlights of the Benoit match and the Christian match. I think the Christian match is really high up there, but not enough to get him through.
I do love the fact that Will only say the murderer's name in the match where he loses the belt. That's well done, sir. Well done.
I think I mentioned him with Jericho, too, to be fair. So let's move on. All right. So finally, let's do John Cena. 2004 versus Booker T. 2005 versus Chris Jericho, 2006 versus Edge, 2007 versus Orton, 2008 versus Batista, 2009 versus Orton, the big Nexus match in 2010, the Punk Classic in 2011 versus Punk and Big Show in 2012, the Daniel Bryan Classic in 2013, and the Brock Lesnar Spectacle in 2014. Another guy, guys, we've seen guys like this before, a lot of middling stuff, but man, he's got the classics there, Johnny. Does Cena move through?
No brainer. Of course he does.
Okay.
And you'd be a fool and a communist to disagree.
All right. What about you, JR?
Yeah, layup. I mean, just the Lesnar, the Bryan, and the Punk matches alone would be enough to get him in. The Batista match, often overlooked at times, was really, really good. And, I mean, the Orton match was fine, too, and the Edge match. But, yeah, I mean, just on the back of Punk, Bryan, Lesnar, and Batista would be easily in.
Okay, Scott?
Yeah, no problem. Free throw.
All right, cool. So we had a layup, a free throw, slam dunk. All right, cool. Let's look at some other names. Now, do you want to go over Christian or Dolph Ziggler or Batista or anyone else, JR?
Yeah, I had Christian in there, and that was mainly in the back of his Orton and Del Rio matches, but he also had the TLC. I mean, I think those are three really good matches. Again, probably not a guy I'd realistically say Mr. SummerSlam, but I think he was at least worth mentioning just for those matches.
Yeah, for the shout-out.
Anyone else? Okay. Think he deserves
anyone else got a comment on Christian? Do you think we should put Christian through, Scott?
He had some good matches, but I don't think he's going to be at the level of the guys we have so far. So no.
Yeah, Johnny, sorry.
No.
Okay. What about Batista there, JR? Do you think he has a big enough resume?
No, he's got the Cena match in 08, and other than that, it's kind of soft.
Yeah. Anyone else you want to mention that we forgot from earlier?
I had a couple of guys on my list. I don't know how hard I'd stump for them. I had Daniel Bryan based on a Cena match and the Barrett match, which was pretty good in 11. But again, after we've gone through some of these guys, I don't see him really making much of a dent. Besides Christian, the only other guys I had on here were Owen Hart. He had the Brett match in 94, the great Austin match in 97, and the really fun Lion's Den match in 98. So I thought he was worth a mention. I had Razor Ramon on there, mainly on the back of his ladder match in 95, but also a really fun match with Diesel in 94 and fine opener in 93 with DiBiase. I had Savage, the Mega Bucks, and then the Zeus match, and then falls off a bit with Dusty. But the wedding, not a match, but it's a big selling point. The main event of that SummerSlam really speaks a lot about the story of him and Elizabeth and the Warrior match. I think he warrants some mention as a SummerSlam mainstay in the early years. And then I had... Yeah. Yep, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, go, continue.
And then the last one I had was Bulldog. The really good tag match with the Rougeaus to open 88, the first ever SummerSlam match. The six-man against Team Slick in 91, the match with Brett in 92, and then Sid and Shamrock in 96 and 97. So I thought worth a mention just for that, the Rougeaus match and the Wembley match.
Yeah, just that Sid match.
You know, at my wedding, I wore an exact replica of Savage's hat.
Oh, Christ.
I did, no lie.
Nice.
Oh, my goodness. Well, okay. So let's see who has made it into the next round. Next time I go through Colorado, you'll have to show me the pictures, Johnny.
All right. When I proposed, I was like, Marcia, will you marry me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Okay, all right. So these are the guys that made it through. We have Ultimate Warrior. We've got Bret Hart, Steve Austin, HBK, Edge, Brock Lesnar, John Cena, and CM Punk. And so let's just repeat that one more time. All right. Ultimate Warrior, Bret Hart, Steve Austin, HBK, Edge, Brock Lesnar, John Cena, and CM Punk. And so, guys, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give y'all an opportunity to take one guy off the list right off the bat. Okay? And I'm going to start with you, JR. Just guy you don't think will make it through to the next round, I'm going to let you knock him off.
I'll take Edge off.
Okay. So Edge is out. Scott. Just a reminder, Ultimate Warrior, Bret Hart, Steve Austin, HBK, Brock Lesnar, John Cena, and CM Punk.
Sean.
Wow. Okay. Let's eliminate Shawn Michaels. He's gone.
Scott going heel on the click tonight.
Uh-oh.
Boys.
And Johnny Sorrow, who are you knocking out?
Hey, so who's left?
Okay, we got Ultimate Warrior, Bret Hart, Steve Austin, Brock Lesnar, John Cena, and CM Punk.
I could be such a cock to you right now.
Do it. No, if that's who you feel, man, go for it.
But
if that's who in your heart you think we should knock out, knock him out, man. I mean, I'm not going to be offended.
It's between Punk, literally. I'm not just goofing around, and someone else, and I'm going to say Punk. And not Brock, but it was close.
Okay, and I am going to knock this guy out, and that's Steve Austin. I just don't think four matches is enough to make him SummerSlam, especially in this field, okay? So let's look at who's left, guys, because now we're down to our final four, okay? Ultimate Warrior and Bret Hart, Brock Lesnar, and John Cena. That's our final four. So I don't know. Like, should we do a pair and then each choose and, you know, whoever gets the thing?
Well, let's do this. Can we come to a consensus on any that is not Mr. SummerSlam? Like, I would say Warrior can go next. Does anyone feel strongly that he should be in the top three?
Me.
Okay. So, Definitely. Well, let's do this then. Let's do a tournament, and we'll go. We'll match Ultimate Warrior up with Bret Hart. So who are you going to pick, Scott? Warrior or Bret?
This is rigged.
Well, Scott, tell us who you would have taken
it's
out.
It's not rigged.
Well, Scott, who would you have taken out instead of Warrior of those other ones?
What do you mean? Who would I?
Well, you think Warrior should make the top three?
Brock or Cena? Who else would you have taken out instead?
I would have taken out Brock.
All right, well, let's do Warrior versus Brock. Who would you take out, Johnny, Warrior, or Brock?
Oof, that's tough.
Because we're both looking at five matches.
I can't go on future potential, obviously. But I would have to take out Warrior.
Okay, JR?
Yeah, me too. Like I said with Brock, to me, the top two maybe SummerSlam moments are Warrior Honky and Brock squashing Cena. I mean, I can't think of too many more that I'd put up there with those two, and I think their best match after that is Rude at 89 versus Brock versus Punk, and I just think Brock Punk is better.
You know, and I'm also going to go with Warrior, but I mean, that's props to him. He made it to the final four.
Right.
I mean, so... all right, well, let's go to the next round here. Let's just do it. Let's go John Cena versus Brock Lesnar.
I'd have to put Cena through. I guess this is where Brock hits the end of the road. I think Cena's just got the volume. That Bryan match is maybe the one match that's better. You could argue it's better than Punk and Brock, and then he's got the Punk match, and I think that's better than... You know, you can't count Brock Cena because Cena has that, right? So you've got to kind of wipe that out. And then you go down a tier. So you got Cena Bryan and Cena Punk versus Brock Punk and I guess Brock Rock. And then Cena still has the Batista match too.
I actually like the Cena Edge feud too.
Yeah.
Like, I had fun with that.
Yeah, I'd move Cena on over Brock.
Well, what about you, Scott?
Yeah, I mean the longevity, the continuous run of main events, and JR did a pretty good equation there of how to balance what Brock had with what Cena had. So I'll take Cena too.
And Johnny Sorrow,
Cena easy.
All right, now this one I don't know. This one feels weird. Now we didn't have Brett because I think we all agree Brett's a pretty strong contender for Mr. SummerSlam. But so is Cena. Cena has legitimately some of the most memorable moments in SummerSlam history and some of the greatest matches. But so does Brett. So, I mean, this is it. This is for the marbles. Johnny Sorrow, if you're picking Cena or Brett for your Mr. SummerSlam, who are you going with?
All right. as a lot of people know, I'm not a huge Bret Hart fan. I don't think he was the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
What?
He annoys the fuck out of me. However, and I think John Cena is better by far. However, going back to the first thing I said about Brett and who, to me, what Mr. SummerSlam is going to mean for this is, to me, I got to go back on what I said to watch the entire career arc of a guy play out like that on this show on SummerSlam. You could just show those matches to explain his entire career in the WWF. And that's why I'm going to say Bret Hart.
Okay. Scott.
I got to go with Bret too. At a time when the roster was relatively thin, the guy shined on at the time when there was only four pay-per-views before 95. It seemed his matches always were the memorable ones. When you look back at any SummerSlam between 88 and 95, people will say, yeah, but Brett had an awesome match that night, even if the rest of the card was garbage, which in most cases it wasn't. Whereas Cena, yeah, he had a lot of matches, but sometimes they were lost in the shuffle of other matches. Brett never had that problem. His match, most of the time, was the shining moment of any SummerSlam. And Cena doesn't have that. Cena's got consistency, but Brett has more stars that shine brighter than others, show by show. So I'll take Brett.
And JR.
Well, can we just say Cena is Mr. SummerSlam and Brett's Mr. The SummerSlam? Can we just go with that?
There you go.
Because that's what he always called it, and that's what he said he was wrestling.
I think if we do this in a few years, I'll change my mind.
You know, and what's also crazy is that you could easily call Brett the Mr. SummerSlam of the 90s and Cena SummerSlam of the 2000s, you know?
They're damn close. I mean, I'd probably say Brett, I guess, just because when I think SummerSlam, he's kind of the first guy that pops in my head. And I like Johnny's point about the career arc. You can, you know, watch him through the tag ranks. And then even that last tag match where he finally wins the belts, you know, 88 and 89, they come up short, even though it's not a tag match, they still lose to the champs. And then 90, they finally break through, and then he's done with the tag stuff. And then he breaks through with the IC belt, passes it to Bulldog, moves on. Proves he can have a big non-title feud and carry it with Doink and Lawler. And, you know, at a time when Lawler, despite his legacy, you know, in wrestling, but from a WWF perspective, if you didn't really know a ton about him, a guy that hadn't done much, and then all of a sudden he's in this big feud with Bret Hart, and it's awesome. And Doink, you know, has a great match and angle with the Wrestling Clown. And we know how great Evil Doink is, but still, it's a testament. And then...
Well, that would be Matt Bourne, though, right? So that's one hell of a great wrestler.
Of course. But, again, yeah. I'm looking at it from perspective of a WWF fan in 93 that is looking at it, you know, I'm looking through my eyes, right, in 1993. I didn't really know Matt Bourne at the time until I learned more about him later. So Bret Hart having a great match with the Clown Wrestler and the King, who I didn't know a ton about until I learned more later, was awesome. And looking back, it's a tremendous package. And you know now, of course, is, you know, two legends and a really great wrestler. The Hart versus Hart cage match, just for the spectacle of the Harts all getting involved at the end, and the heat between the brothers was great. And then all the Canada US stuff paying off with his big title win in 97. So a guy that spans that run. I mean, if anyone were, if we had a panel of 10 guys and, you know, more said Cena, I'd probably just go with the flow and say, yeah, I could see both. I like Will's point that you kind of can divide them right in half and say, you know, Mr. SummerSlam of the 90s and Mr. SummerSlam of the 2000s and be fine with it. But
yeah, well, here's the thing for Cena is at the time, all of those feuds felt like the most important thing going on, except for maybe the versus Punk and Big Show in 2012. I think, but Punk was he champion at the time?
Yes.
The SummerSlam? Yeah. He was, yeah. Right? Yeah. You know, the only thing that hurts Cena for me, and it's the SummerSlam moment that's the biggest blemish on his career, for me personally, is no selling that fucking DDT in that Nexus match, the DDT on the concrete. Well, as a kid who grew up with Jake the Snake splatting Ricky Steamboat all over the floor, I can't forgive that DDT. That's really the tiebreaker for me. Something as stupid as that stupid DDT. I just think the Brett matches, Johnny, you sold me. And that does not happen a lot, man. You sold me. Looking at the career arc of Bret Hart with those tag matches, winning the tag titles, winning the IC title.
Okay, hold on a second. Will, I'm hearing something. Title. Will, I'm hearing something from Canada.
Hell freezing over?
No. It is the sound of Stephen Graham exploding in his pants. It's he never thought he'd hear it.
And now let's swerve on the name Shawn Michaels, Mr. SummerSlam. It's all about Oklahoma.
right. And now the winner, Mr. SummerSlam.
SummerSlam, Scott Hall.
Oh, God.
Shawn Michaels just burst in, super kicked us all, and signed his name onto the contract, making it somehow legal. He's now Mr. SummerSlam.
then he prayed to God. Don't forget that part. All right. So just curious, Johnny, before we wrap this up, Brett and Shawn, who did you side with? Or Brett and Vince? Who'd you side with?
Side with in reality or?
Yeah. In reality.
In reality, the Montreal Screwjob thing, I think both of them were fucked up, to be perfectly honest with you. With the Shawn Brett thing, to me, it's like, yeah, Shawn acted like a dick 25, 20, whatever years ago. He has since said, hey, sorry, I was an asshole. I was pilled up out of my mind on drugs, and I was a bad person, and I apologize. If you watch that DVD, they do. They've never done another one since, and I wish they would, or put it on the network about the famous rivalries. At one point, they're sitting there together, and Brett will tell Shawn, and then you did this. And Shawn will be like, I don't remember doing that, but if you say I did, I'll believe you because I was that fucked up at the time, and I'm sorry. So if Brett's, I don't think he's still hanging on to that shit. So good for him. But so if you look at it as a whole, I'm like, okay, Sean's an asshole, but he's apologized. So I'm kind of go more with Sean. Cause he's not hanging on to bitterness.
Oh God. Okay. All right. Whatever.
Vince thing. I'm like, I don't know. Cause that's so fucked up. Vince fucked him. But at the same time, it's too complicated for me to just pick a side.
No, it's not. People pick sides all the time.
I think if you read all the details of it, to me, it's not so. It's not something very that's so easy to just pick a side. I don't think it is.
Very cut and dry. Brett was right in that because his contract said he was right. He had creative control. Fuck Vince. Anyway, Scott, JR, I don't think y'all want to jump into the Montreal discussion, right? Or do you?
Don't we all hate Hulk Hogan and them for having creative control? Wasn't creative control a bad thing?
Especially the tag team in WCW in 2000.
That was horrible.
Good old Harris Brothers.
God, you know what? We have to do a worst tag team of all time tournament. And they'll probably be my number one.
Not Demolition?
No, Demolition would be top three, but no.
The Bulldogs.
Bulldogs rock, man. I love the Bulldogs.
I'm kidding.
Anyway, Ding Dong's, Ding Dong's had like just a cup of coffee.
Jerry Lawler.
No, he wasn't talking about the tag team. He was talking about Triple H later tonight.
There you go, sir.
Welcome to my world, Will.
Your world fucking sucks. Jerry Lawler, Bill Dundee's the worst thing you've seen. That you must be watching some awesome wrestling because that's a high Christ, Jerry. And Johnny Sorrow will back me up on that because that's a Memphis fan from fucking.
I believe he was teasing you.
Fuck him. Fuck Scott. Oh, by the way, make sure you catch me and Scott on the main event this week. So
Yep. A lot of fun.
Check out JR and I on the Dangerous Alliance podcast. Johnny Sorrow was with me when we named the best SummerSlam of all time. Check out all of the other SummerSlam celebration
Tons of stuff. PlaceNation.com. SummerSlam preview from Dan McGinn. Aaron George's scientific ranking of SummerSlams. He watched every show over the summer and ranked every match and then ranked every show based on the matches.
Scientific? So I take it he was wearing a lab coat.
He wore a lab coat and
goggles.
Hey, Johnny, he was using Tim Knoll's math formula to decide the wrestling points. Our buddy, just for those who don't know, our buddy Tim Knoll ranks matches according to a math formula. But
that's a deep cut.
But I still haven't been able to figure out what that formula is. Anyway, yeah, make sure you check out the reaction shows this weekend, all of the great stuff that's going on at Place to Be Nation. Scott, do you want to plug anything besides main event?
Check out, if you haven't listened already, check out JR and I, most recent Place to Be podcast, where we did New Year's Revolution 2005. Another great moment in wrestling history. Great main event, right, Will? Yep, I thought you'd like it.
Yeah. HBK Hogan, hell yeah. What? SummerSlam 2005, right?
New Year's Revolution 05, Will.
New Year's Revolution 05.
Oh, Christ. What was that? Was that when Triple H, did he win that match too?
Yeah. No, Bill Dundee did.
Oh, well,
Jerry Lawler ran in and helped him.
All right, listen, Aaron George's stuff is really good. Also, check out, we have the PTBN staff doing the top 40 SummerSlam matches. The first installment's up. We all voted, ranked, wrote about them.
Shit.
Hey, knew where the big boys play as well. Wrestle War 92. Chad and Parv woke up and did a show.
Great show.
All kinds of stuff going on. They woke up and did a show. Yeah. Kevin Kelly show coming next Monday as well, recapping SummerSlam and ROH and everything else.
My buddy Phil Snyder, new podcast, we're gonna have Digging the Crates.
Yep, and we're going to have back-to-back main events, WrestleMania, SummerSlam preview show this week and a SummerSlam wrap-up show next week.
Yeah, and Johnny, anything else besides the reaction shows we're going to do this week?
Well, first get in your plug that got totally trampled over, sir.
That's all right. It's just Phil Schneider. Anyway, my buddy Phil Schneider released a new podcast, number two is going to come out this week on Sunday with him and Zellner, Digging in the Crates, where we look at obscure matches. And then, of course, the reaction shows. What else, Johnny? What else we got?
Brainbuster 3. What am I thinking of? Brainbuster 7 is being written as we speak and will come out sometime in September.
All right, cool. I want to thank all of you guys for helping me complete SummerSlam Celebration Week. I did this with Mania. I'm not doing it for Survivor Series, guys. I'm sorry, man. We might do a couple of shows for Survivor Series. There's a couple of interesting shows we could do there. But we're not doing Mr. Survivor Series. It's not going to happen. We'll see y'all guys for the reaction shows. Thank you so much for listening to the Place to Be Nation, and we'll talk to you later. Bye bye.
Fuck you.
See the curtains hanging in the window. In the evening on a Friday night, little light is shining through the window, lets me know everything's alright. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. Summer breeze in my mind.
see the paper laying on the sidewalk, a little music from the house next door. So I walk on up to the doorstep, through the screen and across the floor. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. Days of summer, the jasmine's in bloom. July is dressed up and playing her tune. And I come home from a hard day's work, and you're waiting there, a care in the world. See the smile ringing in the kitchen, food cooking on the plates for two. Feel the arms that reach out to hold me in the evening when the day is through.